right? We pay attention to what's going on in the cross. We see the sacrifice that Christ has made. But I want to encourage all of us this morning to consider ourselves Christians of the empty tomb. I want to share a story with you. And this morning, very briefly, I want to talk about changing directions. In Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13, we find the story of two men who were followers of Jesus Christ. Let me stop right there and say that they were Christians of the cross. They had seen what had happened. They saw the crucifixion. They were saddened by it. The Bible says that as they walked along away from Jerusalem, to the village of Emmaus, Jesus appeared to them. And he asked them a simple question. Why are you so sad? What is going on? Their response was this. Are you a visitor to Jerusalem that you haven't heard what's been going on here? Didn't you hear about Jesus the Christ who was taken by the priest and given to Pontius Pilate, who was crucified and killed? Where were you all this time? They were Christians of the cross. They were followers of Christ up to the cross. What they didn't know was that Jesus was walking alongside them. They couldn't recognize. And Jesus reminded them as they walked alongside that very, very saddened road. Haven't you heard what the prophets of old said about this? That Jesus would be handed out to sinners and that indeed he would be crucified? This is all a fulfillment of that prophecy. And then he went on to explain even more. And all of a sudden Jesus disappeared. He was no longer walking with them. They felt in their hearts, however, and remembered the voice of Christ and what Christ had done. And at that point, they realized that Jesus had been walking with them all along. And in that instant, they changed directions. They were going their way away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they went, changed directions back to Jerusalem to tell the good news of an empty tomb and a risen Lord and Savior. Changing directions. I would venture out to say that a lot of people sitting in this room this day are Christians of the cross. You're here. I mean, You are here because you recognize the importance of this day. And perhaps along the way you have felt in your heart that, yeah, you know what? I have a somewhat of a good relationship with Christ, but it's not the way it ought to be. Your passion for Christ has dwindled down to a very, very flickering flame. You don't feel the same love for others that you once felt. You don't see the splendor and majesty of God's creation like you once did. You're walking along the road away from where God has told you to go in a saddened spiritual state. This morning, my friend, is the day for you to change your direction. This day is the day that we all should make a commitment anew to stop being just Christians of the cross and become Christians of the empty tomb. Christians who are passionate about Christ, who love God with all of their hearts, and who are willing to go up to the mountaintop and die for Christ if it's so required. You know, at some point in our lives, we've lost our way. I've been there, haven't you? haven't you? Yeah. We've lost our way. We find it even hard to recognize the hand of God all around us because we are so surrounded by our own junk that we can't see outside of ourselves. Yet God made a way possible for us to turn around, change directions, and begin traveling in the right direction again. But it's going to take some action on our part. You see, they were on their way to Emmaus, away from where they were supposed to be in Jerusalem, right? Christ, walking with them, said over and over again, you know what, I'm going to be handed over to sinners. They're going to hand me over to the authorities. I will be crucified. They will kill me. But I want you not to despair, but instead go to Jerusalem and wait. Now we find disciples who are on their way away from Jerusalem because they were in despair. Here are the five steps that we got to do to turn back to God. Number one, the assessment. You have to recognize that you're going in the wrong direction. How many of you have ever been lost out in the highway not knowing that you were lost? Oh, we have one. Okay. That was before GPSs, right? I mean, even with GPSs, right? The GPS is screaming at you, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. And you keep going in the wrong direction. But you have to assess and that you're going in the wrong direction, that you're living a life of sin, that you're living a life far away from God, that you're walking away from God rather than walking towards God. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, in the original text, it should actually read that we all sin and keep falling short of the glory of God. Because we think, okay, I became a Christian 20 years ago, and okay, then I'm all right now. But the reality of the fact is that we have to assess that we fall. We keep falling short, constantly falling short of the glory of God. And so in our assessment, we have to realize that we're going in the wrong direction and that we need to turn around. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to turn around. It's time to change directions. You've been doing things your way. You've been doing your own thing. You've been following your own steps. And this is the day that the Lord has made in order for you to stop following your way, stop following your steps, stop following those things that are bringing you farther and farther from God. And this is the day, this intersection in which you and I are given the opportunity to turn around and start walking in the direction that God wants us to walk towards. Secondly, when you make the assessment that you're going in the wrong direction, there's a painful departure. A painful departure. The truth of the matter is that we're creatures of habit, aren't we? When we get used to our own thing, we kind of like our own thing. If we didn't like our own thing, we wouldn't do it, right? The truth of the matter is that our sinful nature is constantly pulling us in that direction. And that in order for us to follow God and be closer to God and grow in God, there has to be a painful departure from our own self. It's hard. It's painful. It's tough. But it must be done. Just like when you're driving in your car and you want to go to Orlando and you miss the turn and you end up driving towards, like, I don't know, Atlanta maybe. Your destination is not Atlanta, right? It's to see Mickey, right? It's to go to Orlando. And so as much as it hurts you, as much as it pains you to have all that time wasted, all those wasted miles, all that wasted gas, especially, you know, in very expensive times, you have to make the determination to turn around. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, it says that it is written, there's no one righteous, no, not even one. No, not you, no, not me, none. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Say, we all did, we all have. They have to come together, become worthless. There's no one who does good, not one. Say, I can't do good. See, the reality is that we think that we can buy our salvation, we can buy our way to heaven by doing good. Say, listen, stop right there. There's nothing you can do that is good enough to earn your salvation. There's just nothing. Now, once we've established a relationship with God, then of course we ought to do good. That's the nature of Christ, isn't it? Christ went around doing good things, and so should we. But we don't earn our salvation by doing good things. We have to completely trust in Christ. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poisons of vipers is on their lips. Their mouth are full of cursing and bitterness. Does it sound like people you know? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the reality of those who are walking far away from God. But this is where the painful departure must happen. Romans 6:23 says that for the wages of that type of life is death. People who are walking and living and breathing, and you see them walking all around you, but they're only existing, they're not living. How sad is it for any person in this room, any person who's sitting here, any person who's heard this message before, any person who does this from year to year, from year to year, from time to time, come to church and hear the message and not understand the fact that you need Christ in your life. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That painful departure requires a breaking of habits and leaving it behind. Of breaking of habits and leaving it behind. But what happens when you leave something old behind? It brings us to the third phase of this whole journey, and that is, you're walking towards something new. See, God doesn't expect you to leave something behind without giving you something in return. Isn't that great? God is saying, look, leave your stuff. Like Jesus told his disciples over and over again, look, just leave your stuff. Come follow me. I'm going to show you a better way. You've been struggling and you've been, you know, messing your life and messing other people's lives all around you, right? By doing it your own way, by doing your own thing, by following your own instructions. Well, if you turn around and you make that painful departure from your own self, from your own thing, from your own way of doing it, then you're going to go and walk towards the direction where you're going to be embracing something new. Now, I'm not even going to ask the question. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask the question. We all like new things, don't we? Don't we? Right? I mean, look, I know that there's some very pious people sitting in this room today. I understand that. But if you were given the choice and they put two outfits right in front of you and one of them was used and one was new, Look, don't lie to the pastor this morning. Which one would you choose? The new, right? Oh, no, not me, pastor. I would choose the old. Sell the new and give to the poor. No, you wouldn't. Embracing something new. Romans 5:8. You've probably heard this verse before, but God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's embracing newness. Now, we don't get to appreciate this much living down here in South Florida, but I lived in Michigan. I lived up north the majority of my adult life, okay? And so summer, you enjoy the 2 or 3 weeks of summer that you get, right? And then the fall comes and it's beautiful, right? You get a nice little crisp, chill in the air. Good for football too, by the way. Good. I mean, when you feel that crispness, you want to reach for that pigskin right away, right? But then the long months of winter, all the snow and sleet and freezing rain, gray skies, the salt, yuck, terrible. And you long for the days of spring. And it's beautiful. When the snow finally melts in June, oh, that wasn't your experience where you lived? When it finally melts and you begin to hear the birds chirping and the leaves just budding and everything turning from gray and, just brown to beautiful, lush green. That's what God does in each and every one of our lives. He says, look, you've gone your own direction and your love for me has turned cold to the point where there's nothing alive in you anymore. But behold, God wants to turn everything new in your life. In this phase, the phase in which you are embracing something new, you have to want it. You have to want it. You have to want to have the new choice in front of you. Just like you wouldn't choose the old rags and the used clothes for that is new, you have to choose to want to accept that gift from God. You have to want it. How many of you want it? You have to want it. Let me tell you something. If you embrace it, you won't regret it. I don't regret being a follower of Jesus Christ. As imperfect as I am and all the faults and all the junk that I have in my life, I cannot regret to follow the teachings of Christ because they've been good to me. My philosophy or way of doing things, especially for my kids, has been to really communicate to them in actions that being a follower of Christ and the teachings of Christ and following his example is not something that daddy's going to preach at you for you to do. Some of you probably grew up in church all your life. You have, probably parents and people who really drove into you, this is the way you do it, this is how, but their lives were a mess. Right? They were saying one thing, but their lives were saying another thing, and there was just a disconnect there. There was just no reconciliation of what they were saying and what they were doing. They had great orthodoxy, right? You know what that means? It's a big word. Big, right doctrine. But they had wrong orthopraxis. Those are big words. Pastor, what in the world? Orthodoxy means right doctrine, right? Orthopraxis means right what? There you go. You got it. Pretty simple. Pretty simple stuff. Jesus wants you, for you to have your orthodoxy and your orthopraxis aligned. And so, you know, I've lived a life, you know, as imperfect as they've seen me. I mean, they've seen all my faults, and you know, they've seen, but they've seen in me a person who really loves people, loves his, you know, their mom, and loves them. Who goes and has a good relationship with them, with people around them. It's been good. There's people that I've known that grew up in church who regretted it. Who regretted it. They had awful, awful upbringings. And I don't know what I'm saying. That wasn't part of my notes, by the way. But probably there's people here who had just, you know, you grew up in church and you're here because you just have to be here, but you can't wait for this preacher to stop talking so you can go home and eat your ham. Right? Here's the next phase, okay? When you embrace the new, you'll find that there's new discoveries. There's new lessons. It's a new adventure. Romans 5:1 says this, that therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. The world is longing to feel that peace. People are longing to discover that peace. You may be really longing and desiring that peace. You may be sitting there this morning and saying, Pastor, I have no peace. I struggle from the moment I wake up in the morning to the time I cry myself to sleep at night. I have no peace. I have no joy. Everything is dull and gray. This is your day. Brothers, my heart desire and prayer to God for you is that you would be saved this morning. That you would be saved. The road ahead, listen, it's not always easy. I never could stand preachers and evangelists who said, oh, come to Christ and your life will be changed and you will have $1 million in your bank account and you'll never get sick and your kids will love you and your boss will reward you and everything will be peachy and it will be great. You know, that's not really true, right? The reality is that although we're walking in a new direction and embracing new adventures and new discoveries and learning new lessons, the reality is that it's not always easy. But it's never boring. Sometimes, you know, Carmen and I will look at each other, you know, and say, you know, it's these past 19 years in the ministry have never been boring. There's always something new. There's always some new lesson to learn. There's always a new discovery to find. There's always something there to uncover. If you follow that, it's never going to be boring. But also, you'll never travel alone. You will never travel alone. See, Jesus has said this. He said, if you decide to turn from your ways and walk in this direction, I promise you something. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be there in your moments of great triumph, and I will be there in your valleys of despair. I will be the first one to rejoice and sing and party with you during those great moments of celebration in your life, and I will be there grieving with you during those funerals. I will give you insight when you need that sense of direction, and I will hold back when you want to figure things on your own. You'll never travel alone. Now, putting it all together, that's the face, the fifth face, right? Because, you know, you've made the decision of, you know, the assessment, I'm going in the wrong direction, right? And you've made that painful departure. Okay, no, I got to turn around. I got to change some things in my life. And you made the decision that, okay, if I'm moving in this new direction, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace the new discoveries and the new lessons and the new adventure. But here's how we all put it together. The reality is that as we walk with Christ, nothing can separate you from that love. Nothing. Amen. You'll have moments when you'll fall to the ground, when you're gonna throw some like major tantrums, spiritual tantrums, and say, I'm not moving from here. Have you seen those kids in the grocery store? I want that candy. Right? How did you deal with that? I mean, I know how my wife Carmen did it. She was a pro from the beginning. You know what she would do? She says, "Oh, you want to throw a tantrum? Okay, bye." But always keeping an eye on this, right? Okay, it's all right. Throw your tantrum. I'll come back to you. That's how God does it. Nothing separates you from the. I mean, was Carmen going to leave him? I mean, maybe I would have been tempted to leave him there, and I don't know what happened, honey. The kid was with me, and it just didn't show up. But here is the reality of how we put all this thing together. Paul said this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Put a period right there. That is the bottom line. This new direction leads us to total satisfaction. Total satisfaction. It leads us to fullness of life. And it leads us to fullness of joy. I don't know how anybody, whether you're here for the first time, who've been here before, I don't know how anybody walks away from that deal. I don't know how anybody does that. Listen, make this Easter, make this Resurrection Sunday the best Sunday of your life. Pray with me, please. There might be some here this morning or this early afternoon who would say, Pastor, I've been walking so far away from God. I've been doing my own thing. I've been following my own direction. Pastor, the reality is that I've felt like I know best, and I'm paying the price. I've paid the price. And you realize that you have to change your direction. You're going in the wrong way. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to, you know, raise your hand, come up here. I'm not going to ask for any of that. This is, you're doing business with God. It's not between you and me, or you, or the person next to you. This is between you and the Lord. The Lord sees the heart. The Lord sees everything. And what I want you to do is to pray this prayer with me. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I've walked away from you. I have followed my own advice. I have done my own thing. And it's led me far away from you. I'm wrong. I admit I'm wrong. And I'm paying the consequences of my errors. And I'm paying for my sin right now. But I want to turn around. I want to make this a new day. I want this to be a new start. So forgive my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Forgive my rebelliousness. I put myself in your hands. I will follow you. I will take those steps starting this day, starting today. And Lord, I recognize that it's only through you and in you that I can find my joy, my satisfaction, and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for your patience, for your love, for your care, and for bringing me here this morning, for giving me a new start. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Listen, if you made that prayer for the very first time, I'm going to be standing back there. We're going to have a couple of the pastors praying. Just nod to me, okay? If that's all the way you communicate, just nod at me. Let me know. Let us know that you made that prayer and that you want to start following Jesus Christ. We want to help you along the way. You don't have to do this alone, okay? God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Enjoy your day with friends and family. And we hope to see you again here next week. God bless you.
This is Rise as we sing this song.